All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight and good to have the opportunity once again to preach. Ask that you folks would pray for me. Just found out this afternoon I'm going to be detailing over to Sidney, Montana for the next couple weeks. And so I'm going to be leaving Sunday morning after the church services. And didn't get a chance to talk to Brother Wall. He asked me to do the soul winning on Saturday. I said yes, but then they called about 2 hours after we talked. So anyway, just pray. It's going to help our family financially. It's a little boost for my class. You folks know, in May when I took those 2 weeks to go to Nepal, those 12 days, I found out about a month after that while trying to get paid for it, that I wasn't authorized leave during that time, my first 90 days as a regular employee, as a career. And so needless to say, we've been trying to play catch up, so this is going to help out a little bit. So pray for the trip, safety, and then of course pray that I'd be a good testimony there in Sydney as I'm working the windows. So tonight, if you will, turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, if you'll stand with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 18, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. It's good to have everybody here tonight. This is a good crowd, since how most of them were gone, but I'm actually really surprised at how many folks come out. Now, it can't be because you want to come hear me preach. It had to be because you're faithful, dedicated, love God. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. Amen. I hope I'm not the reason you came out. I hope you came out because you wanted to make God happy. I mean, I appreciate you being here, and if you enjoy the preaching and teaching, I appreciate that, but it's more important to me that you come because you love God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, as we read tonight, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you again for tonight, the opportunity to be in your house, and what a blessing and a privilege it is to be able to stand here once again. Pray, Holy Spirit, as always, I ask you and I beg you tonight, help my words and thoughts be controlled by you tonight. Pray, God, it would be a blessing and encouragement to our folks. Thank you for their faithfulness. Be with our pastor and our people as they're down in camp. Thank you for the results, those boys and the kids getting saved this week, the lives that are already being changed within just a short time. And Lord, it truly is worth it to be a part of that. Thank you again tonight for all your blessings and for what you've done for us. Bless the service, we ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you tonight. You may be seated. Now tonight I'm going to be preaching a message called, "Who's Watching My Back?" Who's watching my back? Here's a story, of course, we know in 1 Samuel chapter 18. David has just he killed the Goliath, David, or Goliath, or God, doggone it. Maybe I should start over. Okay, hold on. We got to wash it down right. Now, don't be making fun of my wash, all right? The other day, a girl was making fun of the fact that I said tomorrow. And she said, "Tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to come back tomorrow. We're going to take care of this." She said, "Don't you mean tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I said, tomorrow." 1 Samuel 18. David has just killed the giant Goliath. He's won a great victory for the children of Israel. And now Saul has said, "Well, I was impressed enough that I'm going to keep you here. You're going to stay with me. You're not going back home." And Jonathan was impressed, but Jonathan, his soul, it says, it cleaved to David, says, and he made a covenant with David. Now that covenant, if you think about a covenant, this is going to be a long night. Maybe I should just let Brother Rick do the preaching and then I'll listen to him. It's an agreement, okay? Think of a covenant, it's agreement or a commitment. So Jonathan made an agreement or a commitment to his friend David. Here in the last week or so, it's been kind of discouraging at the post office working over at the plant because there's been so many times that people have left me hanging. And the next thing I know, I got the boss on my tail saying, "We got to get this done. We got to get this done." But people, you know, I try to do what I can to help whoever I can. Sad to say, those that take care of you usually have ulterior motives. They don't mind scratching your back as long as you do something for them. When I talk about watching your back, we ought to be back watchers. What I mean by that is, we ought to be looking out for each other. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Not because we're looking to get something in return from them. Amen? We should be back watchers. David, Jonathan said, look, David, no matter what happens, where you go, what you do, I've got your back. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take care of you. And you know, that's the way we ought to be as Christians. I love this story. I love it's just these four passages of Scripture. But you know, sad to say, in our churches today, there's not a lot of Jonathans. Amen? There's a lot of those that turn and run and do their own thing and take care of number one, but there's not a lot of Jonathans looking out for everybody else. You know, folks, as Christians, we should be the number one back watchers of all. I mean, Christ, for 33 years, what do you think He did for 33 years of His life? He looked out for everybody else. He wasn't concerned about His safety and His comfort and things like that. He was taking care of those around Him. Amen? He was watching their back. He had their back. Brother Connor, where did he go? He's around here somewhere? Is he out smoking again? No, I'm just kidding. No, brother, that was a bad joke. All right. Bad joke on that one. But you got Brother Furry, you got Brother Connor, you got other men here, Brother Tucker. You know, these men in the military, and of course, you know, those that have been in the military. You know, when you're out there on the battlefield, and preachers talked about this, Brother Rick's talked about this, you're out there on the battlefield, you're hoping and praying somebody's watching your back. When they're watching your back, they're seeing things that you don't see. And as Christians in life, we go through life and there's a lot of things that we miss because they're happening in a place where we can't see them. And that's why we need each other to look out for each other. We've got to be watching each other's back. So David had a great friend called Jonathan to watch his back. Now, of course, the world we live in, it's hard to tell who is watching your back and who's not. Those that you think you are, aren't. And those that you think aren't watching your back, are watching your back. You know, I've been saved, like I said, for 33 years now. And it has surprised me over the 33 years of my Christian life, who was watching my back and who wasn't. The ones I thought were right there taking care of me, looking out for me, were the ones that were only looking out for themselves. And the ones that I didn't think cared were the ones that were always there watching out for me. You know, you can't judge a person by the way they look. Amen? Some of you are saying, yes, you can. Amen. If you're as ugly as sin, yes, you can judge that person by the way you look. No. You don't judge them by the way they look, by the way they talk, and a lot of times by the way they act. I don't mean act in a bad way. I'm talking about people that are kind of, you know, shy. Amen? They're not out in the front. They're not looking for a pat on the back. They're not looking for everybody to praise them. They're just sitting in the background doing what they can do for God, doing what's right. To most people, they don't look like much, but those are the ones that are looking out for you. The ones that are always up front trying to get the praise and the recognition are usually the ones you can't trust. Amen? What? Okay. Maybe it's something that I see and nobody else sees. Amen? But we live in a world, of course, today where it's hard to tell who's watching and who's not watching. So, but the thing is, don't worry about who is and who isn't. You just keep doing right. God will take care of the other part. Don't look around. Don't keep looking around trying to find out who's taking care of you and who's not taking care of you. Because the one who's taking care of you is always there anyway. You just do what's right. Do what you can for God. And God will take care of the back watchers. Amen? Amen? Now, of course, the world's not going to do it for you. We see it in our workplace, on the streets, and in the public. Most people are just looking out for number one. Everybody knows Black Friday. Amen? Sad to say, the world we live in, Black Friday is every day of the year. In a lot of places. You say, oh, brother, that's not true. Have you ever driven a car? Has anybody ever driven a car around here? Now, every time you get on the road, everybody's watching out for you, right? I remember the day when this young 16-year-old boy was watching out for me. I pulled up to a red light, and I'm sitting there, and next thing I look in my mirror, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, he's not stopping. And sure enough, as he got closer, I just braced, and next thing I know, I heard the brakes, and then hit the back of the car. $6,300 later, I had the back end of my vehicle fixed. Praise the Lord, nothing, no medical or anything like that, but he wasn't watching. That's the world we live in. You get out there in the world, you drive, you do anything in the world. A lot of times people, they're not looking out for you, they're looking out for themselves. They'll cut you off, they'll jump in front of you. Amen? They're not concerned about you. But what's happened a lot of times is it creeps into our church. And I can watch Christians, and a lot of times they act just like the people of the world. And that's a shame. Because we ought to be the one setting the best example for looking out for one another. And yet many times we fail because we're too much concerned about ourselves and what's going on. We're too much worried about our problems and not looking around and seeing how we can be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else. Look around, folks. You're going to find a lot of people in need. Are you looking out for them? And if you are looking out for them, how are you looking out for them? You know, there's different ways that you can tell, and some things about a back watcher that are characteristics that you find in someone who's always looking out for people. Amen? One of them, number one, is they love you. You know, I found most people, especially Christians now, and of course the world, no. But in the church, when I know other Christians are watching out for me, it's a good possibility that they love me. You see, in 18 chapter 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. A person who's looking out after other people and watching their back is going to be a person that has a love for that person. A genuine Christian love. We talk about God as love, but what about Christians? When we look out for somebody, look, do you love them? If you don't love them, there's a good chance you're not going to look out for them. I didn't say you had to like them. Everybody's like, well, if you don't like them, how can you love them? Trust me. With a fleshly body, a fleshly mind, and stupidity going from top to bottom, it's easy not to like people, but it's you love them. Okay, I'm the only one that does that. I'm admitting my faults here. Okay, there's some people I don't like, and I hate to admit that, but some people just irritate me. Now, I know that's not you. Nobody in this church is like that, right? Right? If that's true, then you're in the wrong church. Amen? Look, there are people that we don't like. There's something about them that just irritates us. It's just our flesh. Amen? But the Bible doesn't say we have to like them. It commands us to love them. Do you have any... Have you ever read a passage that says you are... God says, thus saith the Lord, you are commanded to like everybody. Do I like everybody at work? No. Do I love everybody at work? Yes. Because Christ loved me. So if you're watching out for somebody, it's a good chance that you love them. And if somebody's watching out for you, it's a good chance they love you. So a good characteristic of someone who watches your back is they love people. Number two, look over at chapter 19, verses 1 through 2. So first of all, we see if you, a person who watches out for others loves you. Now that's kind of obvious. We don't have to go into a lot of detail. Number two, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should, what? Kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. Number two, a person who's looking out for you is going to protect you. They are going to make sure that you are safe and secure. Men, when you're out on that battlefield, you want protection. Amen? When the bullets are flying and the noise is going on and things are happening, you want to know that somebody is protecting you like you are protecting somebody else. Amen? And as Christians, we want that too. We want to know that when the battles come and the struggles come and the enemy attacks us, that we have other Christians there ready to protect us at a moment's notice. To stand in and help. And sometimes to even jump in front of us. Would you be willing to sacrifice yourself for somebody else? I'm not asking you to answer the question. Think about it. If you saw another brother who you were looking out for, or another sister you're looking out for, and you knew that something bad was going to happen, would you be willing to sacrifice yourself on their behalf to protect them from the danger that's coming? You look out throughout history, and men and ladies from all ages, you see different examples along the way where they put their lives on the line on behalf of somebody else. Now, when I say sacrifice, I'm not talking about giving your life. I'm just talking about taking the blunt, taking the punishment, taking the persecution. Over in the country in Nepal, I don't know how many times people would come and they would attack my people over there. Those were my people. Those were the people that I loved. Those were the people that God had given me to love and to look out for and to watch over, to oversee as a pastor, as a shepherd. And there was many times when people from the world would come in and they'd try to attack my people. And I would jump in front and basically looking at them saying, look, if you're going to get to them, you've got to go through me first. If you're looking out for people, you're going to be willing to sacrifice for people in order to protect them. Jonathan was willing to risk the kingdom to save a man that his own dad wanted to kill. He was next in line for the throne. And yet he was willing to sacrifice that throne to protect the man that he was looking out for. Well, it's quiet in here tonight. Maybe I struck a nerve. I know somebody's going to tell the preacher, all right, what burr got under his saddle? Amen? I just know that we're all guilty. Me included. In my younger years as a Christian, I was looking out after one person, and that was me. And many times, my friends and even my family got hurt because I wasn't protecting them like I should. And I had many regrets because I didn't take care of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want you to make the same mistakes. For some of you, you may be new Christians. Look, live your life watching out for those around you. Don't get to be my age and have regrets. Because you know there's people today that are not in church because you weren't there to take care of them. It's something you don't want to live with. Protect those that you look out for. Be willing to protect them. So number one, we see that if you're one that watches somebody else's back, or a good characteristic is you love. Number two, you protect. Number three, look over at 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And kids only have about 15 points to go, so we're doing good. Come on, smile. I'm going to get some of you to smile yet before I leave tonight. 1 Samuel 23, verse number 16. Look there, it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God." And strengthened his hand. Number three, if we are looking out for someone else, watching their back, we're going to be encouraging them. Hey, all of us get down once in a while, amen? All of us have our bad days. Amen? All of us need a little picking up once in a while. All of us need a smile. All of us need a hug once in a while. All of us need a good handshake. All of us just need a word. Brother, I'm praying for you. We all need encouragement every once in a while. None of us are exempt from discouragement. And when you're in the ministry or you're trying to do right for God, trust me, the devil is going to work his hardest to discourage you. Because when you're discouraged, then you can be defeated and then no longer effective. Look around you. You can tell when people are discouraged. Have you ever watched people? One day they come into church, they're smiling, they're happy, they got a pep in their step, they're just looking like everything is wonderful. And then the next time you see them at church, they're quiet. And they kind of keep to themselves. Or when they talk to you, they don't talk in a real happy voice, they just kind of, "Hey brother, how you doing?" You can tell by the way they look, you can tell by the way they act and the things that they say that there's just something. Now, before you jump on them and, you know, before you pound on them and try to figure out what kind of stupidity they've done, maybe you ought to think about it and realize that maybe it's not because of something they did. Maybe the devil's just attacking really hard and they need somebody to pat them on the back. Amen? Look, you ought to be an encourager. We all ought to be encouragers. We should. If I'm looking out for you, then I'm going to find ways that I can encourage you. If you're looking out for me, then I hope that you're going to find ways to encourage me. Because I'm not always going to be up when you're up, and there's going to be times where I'm going to be down when you're down. Sometimes you have to learn how to encourage even when you're down. You don't always encourage people when you're up. If you learn how to encourage people when you're down, you'd be amazed at what kind of life you'll have in Christ. That's when you receive the greatest blessings, is when you can encourage when you're discouraged. Amen? So, a good characteristic, number one again, is that they love. Number two, they protect. Number three, they encourage. Now let's look over at 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. We're looking at verses 19 through 21. The Bible said, "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, 'Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Can I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee.' And Ittai answered the king and said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be.'" Sometimes, when you're looking out for others, you're going to be tested. We go through tests and trials just to see how much we really do care about other people. David, I believe, was just testing Ittai. It's like, "Look, why don't you go back, your brethren, take care of things back there, while I wander around here and figure out what God's trying to do." But Ittai said, no, I don't think so. I've got your back. No matter where you go, I'm going to go. No matter where you're at, that's where I'm going to be, because I am going to take care of you. He was tested to see whether he was going to stand and stay. You know, you can truly tell how a person is going to take care of you by what happens when the battle comes. Sometimes they look after you, and then other times they leave. A true person who's looking out for you, no matter what tests or trials come his way or her way, they're not going to leave you. Amen? Give me a holy grunt or something here. I know it's hot. It's hotter up here, but pardon me for just a second. Oh, that's good. Would you like some? Okay. I mean, I didn't spit on it, but you can have some if you want. Boy, I tell you, some of y'all are dead tonight. But look, sometimes you're going to be tested just to see what you're willing to do in order to take care of somebody else. God's going to say, well, just how much do you mean business? How much do you really love that person? How much do you really want to protect them? How much do you really want to encourage them and be what they need to be? God's going to say, here it is, let's see what happens. He's going to test you just to find out if you're serious or not. Serious or not. I hope you are. I hope I am when that test comes. Look, when I call somebody friend, they're a friend for life. No matter what they do, what happens, when I say you're my friend till the day I die. Now, have all my friends been what they should have been for Christ? No. But have I always been what I should have been for Christ? No. But I've got quite a few folks that I know that were there for me. When God tests you, He wants to see if you mean business, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn? Or are you going to stand and stay? It's easy to watch somebody's back when the problems that are coming are light. It's more difficult to watch somebody's back when the problems that come are heavy. Amen? David was just betrayed by his own son. Can you imagine? Your only child, your own son, maybe not his only child, but your own son turning against you and wanting to destroy you. I imagine there was quite a few people who were saying, you know, it's probably not a good idea to be on David's side. The test came and a lot of them failed, but there were a lot of them like Ittai that didn't fail. Because he knew what it meant to stand by David. He knew that if he was caught, that he would automatically be put to death. Because he was standing for the enemy, which made him a traitor to the country. Amen? He was tested. And David gave him I don't know if David gave him the test. I started to say David did, but I think more God was just testing him. And he passed. And he took care of David. Amen? So sometimes you're going to be tested just to see if you really mean business. Number 5, look over at 2 Samuel again, 15. We're looking at the same chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 15, we look at verses 24 through 29. And I'm almost done. So, praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God unto the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art not thou a seer? Return unto the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. A person who's watching out for you is a faithful person. What was David trying to tell Zadok? He's saying, look, I understand that you want to take care of me, but it's more important that you stay faithful to God. Amen? He's like, take the ark back where it belongs, and you stay faithful to God, and the day will come when God will tell me what's going on. Look, if you're taking care of somebody else, good chance you're a faithful person. If you're not faithful to God, it's going to be hard to be faithful to other people. Amen? So a good characteristic of a backwatcher is a faithful person to God and to others. We're supposed to be faithful to God because that's what the Bible teaches. But I believe also, you study the book, it also means we need to be faithful to each other. Not just the one we married. Sometimes as Christians, we limit our faithfulness to God, to our wife and our children. Or to our husband and our children. But I believe as Christians, we should be just as faithful to each other. Amen? Would you like a pillow? Okay, just checking. So, we love a person who's a good backwatcher. Loves, protects, encourages, sometimes is tested, is faithful. Number six, is trusted. 2 Samuel 15, verse 32 through 34. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. David needed somebody in the palace that he could trust to be his eyes and his ears. And that's what he sent this one man back for. It's like, look, I trust you and I know that you'll take good care of me. But I need you to go back there and take care of me there. Not right here. A person who's good at looking out for others is a person you can trust. I know sometimes, there's been times in my life as a Christian that I've said, don't trust anybody. Sad to say, that was not right. We can trust people. Not everybody. But there are people we can trust. I trust Brother Rick. Now, if I fall, I don't trust him because he'll probably let me fall. But no, I know that if anything ever happened to me, I could trust him to look out for my family. There's certain men that I know without a doubt that if anything ever happened to me, I would never have to worry about my family. Because I trust them. I trust them to be there when I need them. And look, if people are looking out for your back, it's a good chance that they're a good trusted person. Honest and trustworthy. What a testimony, amen? If people don't trust you, that's not good. So they're trusted. And lastly, not only are they trusted, but lastly, look at 2 Samuel, chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. David is still on the run. Him and the men and the families that are with him. You look at chapter 17, verses 27 through 29. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maacah, the son of Ammiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite, and Rogium. You guys try to do this real quickly, okay? Amen. Brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Look, a person who looks out for others is a person that's going to look out and take care of your needs. That's someone that's looking to see how they can help you. Look around, folks. People are in need. You look hard enough, you can find somebody that needs something. And if you got it, and God burns your heart about it, give it. You say, but, you know, I may need it later. Yeah, but they need it now. Yeah, I believe there's a lot of people that lose out on the blessings of God because they just weren't quite ready to do what they should do at that time. And then by the time they got around to doing it, it was too late. Somebody else got the blessing. Look, I want to be blessing to people. I like helping people. I love giving money to help bus kids go to junior camp. I mean, I helped with that, and then I had four bus kids. Four kids that came had no money for Snack Shack. Do I have a lot of money right now? No. But I gave my wife money, and I said, honey, you take care of those kids. When there's needs, I try to fill them. And a lot of times, after I fill them, I don't have nothing left. But you know what? I like God and how He refills. It's amazing. You guys know this. Some of you do, some of you don't. When God refills, He always gives back more than you gave. He never just fills you up to a certain point and leaves it. He wants it to overflow. It's wonderful. I don't know how many times I have given and given and given, and God comes back and gives twice as much, three times as much to my family and I. He may not give us money, but look, my family's healthy. Do you realize how much it costs to go to a doctor today? Think about it. If you're healthy, just because you don't got a lot of money in your pocket, praise the Lord. But when you do have something that somebody else needs, instead of holding on to it for a rainy day, give it and see what God will do. Why do you think churches in our country have such a hard time? It's because they keep holding on to the money. No wonder we're broke all the time. We don't hold on to anything at Heritage Baptist Church. We're always getting rid of it. And I love it. I wouldn't want to be a part of any other church in the world than this one right here. I love the mentality of my pastor. When people need it, he takes care of it, whether we got it or not. And a lot of times, he empties things out. But God refills every time. Look, people are in need. If you're watching out for their back and you see a need and you don't feel it, you ain't a good back watcher. That's just common sense. Look, when you see a need, meet it. Help them. Be what they need you to be. Be a blessing to them. Be an encouragement to them. Lift them up. Make them smile. For some of you, when they look at you, they'll get a smile out of them every time. For some of us, it gets a good chuckle. But look, hey, if I can make somebody smile and I can make their day, that is worth more to me than anything this world can offer me. When I can meet somebody else's need. Look, those two young boys that went, you can't pay enough for what happened. We gave $320, but you got two boys on their way to heaven. Put a price tag on that. They don't have to die and spend eternity in a fire-filled hell. They don't have to suffer. They don't have to cry out and weep because there's no hope. Now they have hope. There's no price tag on that. You see a need, you fill it. Because you just never know what God's going to do in the life of that person. So tonight, as I close, let me ask you a question. Are you a good back watcher? You don't have to answer. Are you watching the backs of your friends and loved ones? Who's watching your back? And whose back are you watching? Look, we all need to be good back watchers. Are we going to fail sometimes? Yes. But at least we keep on trying. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you again for tonight, the opportunity to come and be a part of the service. Thank you so much for all these folks. Thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, help us as we learn from David and Jonathan. We think about this young man, Jonathan, who was next in the line of the throne, who is set to be king of Israel. And yet, Lord, he was willing to sacrifice it all in order to take care of his friend David, to look out for him, to watch his back. Help us to learn from that example and to be just like him. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for how you love us. And Lord, just thank you for being a God that never fails us. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Brother Rick.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Real quick, we always want to give a quick invitation. If there's somebody here who's not sure they're on their way to heaven, we'd hate to end the service with them leaving without an opportunity to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If there's somebody here tonight and you say, Brother Rick, I do not know right now if I'd go to heaven or not. There's doubt. I'm not 100% sure. Would you pray for me? If you'd lift your hand up, I'd like to pray for you. All right. Maybe tonight you're just thinking in your seat, boy, I just need to be a better back watcher. I need to stop looking out for myself and look for others. It takes just a minute. We're not going to open up the invitation, but just take a minute and pray right there. Then we would turn our hearts. Every single successful church in the Bible all have the same thing in common. They're one accord, one mind. And that's what Heritage Baptist Church needs. One accord, one mind, looking out for each other. Lord, we thank you that we were able to gather together tonight. Lord, I pray with you would go with us. Help us, Lord, to not just think about the sermon right now, not thinking about it as we leave, but help it to stay with us. Help us, Lord, to let it affect us and change us, Lord, that we'd be better at looking out for the needs of others rather than focusing on ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would set our pride aside, Lord, and humble ourselves so that we can be effective Christians for you. In your name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday at 9:45.